Chapter 9. Down the Pit.
The doorbell rang at 39 Stevenson Avenue.
Oh no, who's this?
Thought Linda. Then she heard the key in the lock and a familiar voice.
Mom, Dad, it's me, I'm home.
As Matt came into the living room, Linda hid behind the sofa.
What's this, a note?
She heard him say.
Ah, yes, they went to book for Florida, of course.
The voice came closer.
Poor Mum and Dad, they think it's a secret. Hey, who are you? And what are you doing behind our sofa?
Linda stood up, incredibly embarrassed, not knowing what to say. But suddenly, Matt fell to the floor, one hand on his throat, the other towards Linda.
Help me!
He gasped.
I'm suffocating!
Down in the humid darkness of the mine, Clem's shift reached the entrance to the new seam. Nobody spoke, and everybody looked at Clem. Everybody except Matt. He looked at Estelle. He wanted to ask her why she was there. But in the ghostly light of the safety lamps, her eyes implored him to keep her identity a secret.
Well, lads, let's go inside. Follow me, and if I run, you run,
said Clem, breaking the tension. The echo of his voice accompanied them as they entered the tunnel. The walls were narrow, just wide enough for a coal tub, and low. Matt had to crouch.
Matt, keep an eye on the flame in your lamp,
whispered Clem.
If it's blue, there's black damp, a suffocating gas. If it goes out, that means there isn't enough oxygen.
They continued slowly down the tunnel, Matt close to Clem, and Estelle close to Matt. Billy, the last of the group, closed the trap door to the seam behind them. Now they were completely isolated from the world above.
It's strange,
said Clem.
Here we are down here, abandoned by the world. Yet without us, the world stops. No coal means no industry, no transport, cold houses.
Oh no!
Interrupted a terrified girl's voice. Clem turned with surprise and saw the small miner with the large cap pointing at something on the ground. Matt illuminated the object of Estelle's terror with his lamp. It was a small yellow bird with a dark beak. It was dead.
I knew it,
said Clem angrily.
We're in a death trap. But who are you, boy?
He took off Estelle's cap and saw her long blonde hair.
Miss Everslime,
he said, incredulous.
What are you doing down here? It's very dangerous.
I know it is,
said Estelle sadly.
And I think my father knows it too. When Matt came with a petition, I tried to tell him, but my father stopped me. I didn't want to believe that he could put innocent lives at risk. But now I can see with my own eyes that it's true. You must get out of here before it's too late.
Clem looked at her with admiration, then shouted to the miners.
You heard the girl. Let's go. Don't panic. There's black damp down here, but we've got enough time to get out.
As they went back along the tunnel, Matt said,
Estelle, you were very brave to come here.
I'm afraid of what my father will do now,
said Estelle, tears in her eyes.
But I came down here to be with you too, Matt.
I must be dreaming,
thought Matt. Suddenly, his dream became a nightmare.
I can't open it,
shouted Billy.
The trapdoor's blocked.
Now there was panic.
Blocked from the other side,
agreed Clem, pushing the door.
Someone wants to kill us, cried another miner.
There's another way out. I know where it is,
shouted Estelle.
Follow me.
She took Matt's hand, and they started to run along the tunnel, with Clem and the others behind. But it was impossible to run quickly with the low roof walls. With a thud, Matt hit his head, and his lamp fell to the ground, breaking the glass. For an interminable instant, nothing happened. He saw the horror on Clem's face as the miner whispered, Oh no, the flame! Then there was a deafening noise, and an intense white light, 1,000 times brighter than the light from Mr. Wells' computer.